All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
What's up?
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
Because it's special episode today.
Special, super special episode.
Cine friggin' cesia.
Yeah. We're going to get
big time.
Deep down into my brain.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm nervous. I'm really scared what we're going to find in there.
Danger zone. Right.
I feel like we're about to crawl into one of those tunnels in Stranger Things.
Yeah, basically. So, so we have a little less. I mean, we surprisingly a decent amount of things to talk about here up at the front of the show.
What are you talking about? Surprisingly, it's been a full week since we recorded.
Clearly, it hasn't just been 3 days.
No, not
it's
at
been
all.
Seven.
Right.
Don't be fooled. So, all right. Tarantino confirmed he's still considering a third entry into the Kill Bill series. Now, this is interesting to me because didn't he say 10 films and done?
First of all, yeah. I got a problem. Let's start right off the bat.
Right.
What's your problem, Penn?
What's your problem with Penn?
I got a lot of problems with you people. It's like the Festivus over here. I got a lot of problems. I got a couple problems.
Okay.
What's your problem, Penn? Here's my problem. Let me tell you what my problem is with this. I got two problems related to this situation.
Okay.
My first problem is he's obviously lying about stopping after 10 films.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that his ego is going to let him drift off into the sunset of not being relevant. As evidenced by throwing out something stupid like, hey, let's have a third Kill Bill.
Does Kill Bill count as two movies for him or just one?
Which leads me to my second problem with this.
Oh.
Does Kill Bill count as two movies or just one?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I could see him doing that, like making a third Kill Bill, which I think is a horrible idea, other than the fact that it's Tarantino, so like I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if he's going to get cute and start saying those are in fact one, all three of those movies – count as one, that frees him up. I don't believe this guy for a second that he's going to stop after 10 movies.
Right, right. I feel like if he's going to say 10, then and he's going to do that, he needs to say, I'm going to start 10 franchises or 10 storylines.
10 stories.
Yeah, I'm going to tell 10 stories, not 10 movies.
That's fair.
But he's saying movies.
Okay, so as long as we're throwing out stupid ideas.
Yeah.
How about a sequel to Pulp Fiction?
Reservoir Dogs 2.
Reservoir Dogs. What happened after they got out of the...
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Tarantino's crazy.
I had no idea what I was getting into when I watched Pulp Fiction. I was not hip to it. I just thought it looked cool because there was two dudes and some guns and it was rated R and I had no idea who Quentin Tarantino was when I watched it.
Anytime you criticize anything, I was like, it's two dudes, there's guns, and it's rated R. You should love this movie. I don't understand why you didn't like Stuber. Two dudes, guns, and it's rated R.
That's fair. That's a fair shot. I'll take it. Touché, mon frère. And now we're French. What's up?
What's up?
So I had no idea what I was getting into when I watched Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I was not hip to Tarantino. I was not hip to anything, really. And I loved the – what do you call – what's the grown-up word for that where the way the plot line sort of jumps all around? And it, like the end of the movie is actually the beginning of the movie and the timeline is
– twists, I guess.
Circular. Somebody out there knows.
Podcast@penncinema.com. Well, is that our new email?
Yeah. Just this week.
Just France making news.
Right, right. Hot off the presses. So my point is, this is a long way of saying, a Pulp Fiction sequel, while I stand by my original comment that it's a horrible idea, you could play around with the timeline and explore some other dynamics related to Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
Like, the movie in and of itself is almost perfect.
Yeah.
But if you're going to throw out bad ideas, let's have a sequel that's actually not a sequel, but takes place within that same circular element of time and sort of...
Different characters?
Different characters, more characters.
Mm.
I mean, it'd be interesting. Probably the way to do it is totally different.
Yeah, not make it connected at all.
Like, who's...
Or reveal at the end, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong style.
Yeah.
And at the end, be like, oh, guess what?
The whole thing was a dream.
It was connected.
Or do it Bob Newhart style.
Bob Newhart wakes up next to Samuel Jackson.
John Travolta wakes up on the set of Welcome Back, Kotter. And he's like, I just had the most insane dream. Or on the set of Grease. Was perfect. He in Kotter? Was he in Welcome Back, Kotter? Yeah.
That was like, I think his breakthrough.
That was his Disney moment.
Yeah.
His Disney
teenage
moment.
Teenage years.
All right. Quit fooling around.
Okay. Real news.
I got a little bit of a real news. Last week we talked about Tim Truman.
Mm-hmm.
His amazing comic series, or I don't know what you call it. Is it a series, character, whatever, stories
mm-hmm.
Around his character Grimjack?
Yeah, a.k.a. David Moulton.
A.k.a. David Moulton, right. We put the picture on our Facebook page, so if you want to see a picture of David, and, I mean, we wrote Grimjack on the picture.
Yeah.
But,
I got a lot of emails. People are like, what? Why is they just showing a picture of you up there?
Right.
That's really weird.
Anyway, the news is it was a little misleading. It is the Russo brothers behind this project, but they're proposing an Amazon series, not a feature film. So we'll see. You know, our position is not usually super friendly to Amazon, but for Tim, I mean, we're all in.
We'll break the rules.
You bet.
Right? Speaking of breaking the rules and the conventions of modern film.
Normalcy.
Yeah. Todd McFarlane revealed he plans to raise $20 million for a new Spawn movie on Kickstarter.
Okay.
That is a lot of money for a franchise I feel like is not that popular.
Right.
And someone's going to hate me for saying that, but I really feel like... It could be, like, I don't know.
David, I don't hate you for saying that. You got me, babe.
At least I got one.
You got one guy in your corner. I think that makes total sense. But just for the exercise of this, run me down some of Todd McFarlane's greatest hits. What's he most known for?
Okay. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Spawn.
Okay.
Other horror toys.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Spawn? Yeah. I don't know. Well,
right.
I guess he did do Batman. He did a Batman. Like, he's an artist, so he's done, like, Batman and other stuff. But they aren't, you know, they're very stylized in that person.
So maybe this is unkind and insensitive of me.
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't he – my point is that he's not a newbie.
Right.
He's not a kid in art school
right.
who has a great idea for a project and he's starting a Kickstarter campaign. Like, shouldn't he, if his idea has merit, shouldn't he be able to get somebody in Hollywood who puts money in to movies to God, back him?
God, Ben, that was so insensitive and unkind of you. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Why isn't Hollywood backing this if it's such a great idea?
It reminds me of like when cities build things with public money and those of us who think that's a bad idea are like sitting there going, if it's such a great idea, an investor, a developer, a business person would have already done this.
Right.
You know.
Right. I don't know.
Anyway, all right. Well, good for Todd. Wish him the very best. You know what? You know what we should do? We should go and kick in a couple bucks to that. I'm going to kick in some bucks in your name.
Oh, snap.
Yep. You bet I am.
And then when it wins awards, we'll be like, it was us.
It was David that got him across the finish line, not us.
Oh, just specifically
just you.
Me. And if it fails,
right.
It'll be David. Why did you put money into that?
I don't want anything to do with this mess. Now, call me when you're raising money for a Pulp Fiction sequel. That's a great idea.
That's an idea I'll back. All right. The Saw film starring Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, man.
Will now hit theaters May 15th, 2020.
Early 2020?
Early 2020, and this is the part that kicked me about it. Not only was it 2020, but they moved it up to be earlier in 2020. I mean, what's going to happen at the end of 2020? Are movies just going to stop? Are people going to stop going to the movies?
You know what would be great? Like a science fiction movie where the world ends at the end of 2020, and like in the beginning of the movie, they cut to us. Like making jokes about how everything's in the beginning of 2020. What's going to happen at the end of 2020?
Why are all the films coming up?
Yeah, we're like the comic relief before they flip over to like Kevin Costner and Dennis Quaid planning their helicopter
rescue.
Little
did they know.
These two jokers.
Yeah, and at the end there's just like a half burnt sign podcast. Benson with podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, when this news first broke, honestly, I kind of thought it was a joke.
Mainly because we keep making it a joke.
But I feel like, you know, is Chris Rock going to do a Kickstarter campaign for his? No, he's not, because he's a pro.
Yeah, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, and he's
obviously got, people want more Saw movies.
He's got Sammy Jack in his corner. Yeah. I think this is great. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know off the top of my head, but I feel like May is always a time of year for big movies.
Yeah.
So maybe this will slide right in there and do well.
Why not Halloween? Riddle me this.
Counter program? Is Halloween too obvious?
Halloween is too obvious?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. What do I know?
I don't know.
I'll tell you exactly what I know.
Yeah?
Nothing.
What?
Tell me everything you know, and I'll show you rain and snow. I know nothing.
Jon Snow. All right, Mad Max sequels are going to happen, according to George Miller. Do you care about this?
No.
Yeah.
but that's a harsh way to phrase the question. Like, I care about my kids. I care about you. I care about Amy. Like, I don't, you know, but in the context of like, do I like Mad Max? Like, yeah, I think that's cool. I'd see another movie. My thing with this is, why is this such a surprise?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Mad Max is kind of an iconic character and franchise and, like, why wouldn't another one come?
Also, why is it taking this long? That's my real question. Mad Max Fury Road was, like, such a hit. I didn't like it. But so many people did.
That's because you went to your secret film critic website and learned all the bad things about it while the rest of us were sitting in the front row eating popcorn going, oh, man, did you see that thing blow up? That was awesome.
Is that you guys and guns and it's rated R?
That chick's got a hockey mask on.
Oh, my word. I didn't know that could happen.
She hid her gun in the sand, David.
Meanwhile, I'm with my hippy-dippy friends.
Right.
Drinking tea with our fingers out and cigarettes on long sticks.
Yep. Down at the Prince Street Cafe.
Yep. Well, I say the movie didn't have quite the art I was looking for.
The film editing was subpar.
Did you notice the lens flares?
All right, yeah, I think that's all
the news we got
that's
for now.
Fit to print.
But, okay, now we're moving into trailers.
Yeah.
Trailers this week, okay, it's been 3 days. I know we said it was a week, but pretend it was only 3 days.
Pretend.
Yeah.
You know what's great about a podcast? It's kind of like going back in time. Like, when I listen to the podcast, it's like I'm back on that Monday that happened a few days ago
when we
recorded it. It's awesome.
And you're like, is there two of me? Am I speaking? You almost sometimes talk over yourself.
It's awesome.
What I love is when LOL Jamie sends me text when she's listening to episodes 2 weeks later as if the conversation is actually happening and she's interjecting. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like she sends you a text and she's like, Penn was right. You're crazy.
Yeah,
you
know, like that kind of thing. Why would you think that movie wasn't good? What movie? Right. I'm not with you. Anyway, every single one of these trailers except for one.
It has felt like a short week, but your point is there's some solid trailers.
Yeah, some really good trailers. And I'm curious to see what your trailer of the week is. Let's start out.
Well, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Yeah.
You were getting ready to say every single trailer except for one.
Is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like which one? Is it the one I'm 100% almost sure this movie will suck?
Written by you in the notes? Yeah, yeah.
David and I keep very professional show notes.
No colorful language whatsoever.
None.
Yeah. All right, let's start off with Harriet.
All right.
This one took me by surprise.
Wow.
Because I thought, okay, you know, whatever, a biopic, or as I like to call them, a biopic.
Biopic.
I am no doctor, but I think I know how to say this type of procedure. It's a biopic.
True, I knew you weren't a real doctor.
What? All right. So this, I thought, you know, it might be all right or whatever. Like,
I don't think we should be fooling around when we're talking about a Harriet Tubman movie. Mr. Doctor.
Mr. Doctor.
Doctor Biopic.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on a podcast.
I'm writing down your new name. Mr. Doctor Biopic. From now on, when we go out to dinner, that's going to be the name
I put
the reservations under. first name, doctor.
Last name, biopic.
Okay, Mr. Doctor Biopic.
We lost Penn. We lost him. He's the man down.
I'm sweating again. Mr. Doctor Biopic, your table is ready. Okay. All right. Come on, David.
Harriet Tubman.
This is serious.
Yeah, this was a thing that happened.
Okay.
No.
I'm on board.
No, okay. I'm
this
totally
movie
on board.
Totally caught me by surprise, too. It wasn't on my radar. I got an email from Focus Features.
Yeah. A52? Focus.
Focus Features, as you know, is always a trusted...
So out of breath! He's always...
David.
People are going to think Harriet Tubman's a comedy.
For the record, we are not laughing about this movie. We're laughing at David.
Always.
It has nothing to do with me. I am professional and ready to carry on.
Always. I'm sorry.
It's Mr. Dave, Mr. Doctor.
I'm trying to take a drink over here. I can't get it down.
Good luck, Mr. Doctor Biopic. Okay. This movie was not on my radar.
Yeah.
I got an email from Focus Features, and it had the trailer and I think a poster or something like that. So I put the trailer on our list, watched the trailer. This movie looks great. This is going to be a for real movie.
Yeah. Oh, no. This movie looks excellent.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking like...
Is it on the scale with Lincoln?
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of reminded me of that a little bit.
Yeah, that, 12 Years a Slave. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess this is the same time period, but it looks really, really well done. Like, emotionally, like, charged. Film-wise, it looks like it's filmed really, really well. The music in the trailer is great. I'm totally on board with this trailer.
Comes out this fall, right? Or Thanksgiving, maybe?
Yeah, I think somewhere around there.
Yeah, later in 2019, not to be confused with early 2020.
It'll get pushed back.
Right, I'm so glad we're done talking about that movie. Cause,
oh my gosh.
That was hard keeping a straight face for a minute there, trying to be respectful. I mean, she's one of the original best American heroes.
Right. Right.
I do not mean any disrespect. I just got caught up in the Mr. Doctor biopic mess.
Well, let's talk about a movie that we do mean disrespect about.
Oh, what? David.
Who would a Playmobil?
Is it Playmobil or Playmobil?
It's Playmobil.
There's no E on the end. I put an E on the end in show notes. Just to throw me off? Yeah.
It's Playmobil.
It is Playmobil.
Because you move around with them. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. I was just trying to be a jerk.
Throw me off. How? What makes you think that I would mispronounce something? First off,
you know what my problem is.
What's your problem with Penn?
Here's my problem with this title. They're obviously sponsored by Porsche.
Yes, clearly.
This is a rated G I guess it could end up being PG if they put in like a couple fart jokes. But this looks, this is a real kid's picture. When I say kid's picture, 6 years old, 7 years old. This is a kid's picture. Why? And does not look like the best kid's picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that generous? Is that fair?
No, that's fair. I mean, there were some moments that I was like, I find humor in that, but it's probably not going to be like that often.
I need to, I'm going to stay open-minded to it until we see more about it, because it could end up being like Lego Movie where I didn't see it coming. It ended up being really great.
Right. Well, there's
but the hero in the trailer drives a Porsche.
Mm.
So what is Porsche doing? Like Audi is in all the James Bond movies and the Marvel movies. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of like some of the advice out there. You got to get them while they're young.
Oh.
You know? Put your claws in. Okay. Get your influence
like Marlboro
in.
Used to do.
Yeah. You got to get them while they're young. And then when the time comes when these kids are ready to buy cars, they're like, Mom, Dad, I need a Porsche. And Mom and Dad are like, well, I've given you everything so far. Why not also a Porsche?
Why not?
Yeah.
I was going to give you a 2016 Honda Civic.
But instead.
Because now it's 2028 by the time that kid is old enough to drive.
To drive.
To drive.
Yeah.
Or to grind.
These kids driving all over the place.
Yeah, these kids are driving all over the place. So I was going to give you a 10-year-old Civic, but since you have such fond memories of the Porsche in Playmobil. Dad, it's Playmobil! In Playmobil. Then I'm going to buy you this Porsche. I think that's exactly how it's going to play out.
No.
Especially because this movie will definitely be remembered in 10 years.
Obviously. It'll be one of those nostalgia things. There's like shirts for it and everything. Remember?
Next week, I'm going to bring in a list of movies that came out in 2018 and see if you remember any of them.
All right. Okay.
I have another problem with this movie.
Yeah.
They have that line, I'm 100% almost sure. That was a pretty good line. That was funny, right?
Yeah.
But it was just too easy to take it and change it to, I'm 100% almost sure this movie will suck.
Okay. So I heard that line like four times watching the trailer. Every single one of these trailers had a trailer before it advertising the trailer I was about to watch. What's up with that?
I don't know. Where are you watching trailers?
YouTube. It's always like, and I know what it is, because they use them for ads to get you to stick around for the ad. It's like 10 seconds of like, dude, get ready for this.
Yeah.
Harriet Tubman, excitement, and trailer starts now. And then, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. The next trailer is Brian Banks.
Ooh.
Did you get a chance to watch this?
I did.
Yeah. What do you think?
Look, I am not a sports guy.
What?
I know. The first thing on your mind was like, David's a sports guy.
Well, with a name like Mr. Doctor. I just assumed you were the cerebral
type. Never seen biopic on the back of a jersey? here's the thing. Bleecker Street put this out.
Right.
I think it looks really, really well made. Simultaneously, I was waiting for the twist where it was going to turn out to be a Jesus movie.
Right.
But it didn't twist into that.
Right.
And I was like, I was waiting for it to fall, for the fall. You know, I don't know how else to say it. We're like, okay. But it's not.
To me, this falls into the category of, and podcast at penncinema.com. Hear me out.
It's a new email.
It falls into the category of a Christian movie that is not labeled faith-based movie.
Right.
Like, this guy clearly is learning some profound values. You know, there's the exchange with Morgan Freeman in the trailer. Yeah. I agree with you. The movie looks really well made. And to me, kind of like Blindside,
right,
this is a movie that has some, you know, is going to be popular with churches and people who are interested in faith-based related topics. But it's not going to be labeled
directly,
faith-based, which I think is a sign of a good movie. Plus, not to mention, they got Morgan Freeman,
right,
which is always a good thing.
I think this looks like it's going to be a good, like, lesson feel-good movie. Like,
I don't think it has anything to do with sports. I think that's a backdrop. That's a premise.
You think that's okay. He used to play football.
Well, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And
aren't they all?
Oh, the good ones.
Yeah. Playmobil.
Playmobil is based on true. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Nonfiction at its best. And yeah, the guy played football and he was a standout and he was awesome and he's headed to the NFL and then he was wrongfully charged or something like that. Went to jail when he was not supposed to. And then he comes back. I don't want to ruin the movie, but it has a happy ending. And I think the football piece is more of like, oh, this guy happens to be a football player. It's more about, you know, life is how you respond to it, not necessarily what happens to you. Because I think a lot of the movie takes place in jail and in courtrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to know more.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm right now. I'm interested.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Jojo's Rabbit.
Yeah.
Taiki Waititi. The guy who directed Thor, Ragnarok, and is directing Thor, Love and Thunder, and has directed many other comedic things.
So excited for Natalie Portman in Thor, Love and Thunder.
So excited for Natalie Portman in general.
Period.
Yeah. Jojo's Rabbit, or Jojo Rabbit. I don't know what to think of this. I laughed. I was intrigued. This is just a teaser. I can't wait for the full trailer. I'm just looking at Penn trying to read where he's at on this one. Because it doesn't look great.
I'm trying to be as
funny.
I'm trying to be as blank as possible to see where you fall.
And then they're just Hitler's like, everyone thought that I was crazy and it said bad things about me. I think Hitler in this is his imaginary friend. I think.
You just ruined the movie for me.
What? Get out of town. But just, I don't know. I want to know. So far I'm on board. This made me laugh.
This is my trailer of the week.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
I love this trailer. I laughed out loud, hard.
Yeah.
And that scene where you're referencing where Hitler's consoling the little boy and he's like, they said I was a lunatic and they said I was psycho and look where we're at now. But he says that last bit just with his eyes.
Yeah.
Like there's no line. It's a facial, it's acting, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that whole there's a Nazi stormtrooper dressed up with mascara and obviously, doing the Corporal Klinger thing.
Yeah.
And Marley and I were kind of laughing, like, nothing says funny, like a little genocide. <You know? laughs> But I think what was the tag at the beginning of the movie that said, like, we're bringing love to hate or something, or comedy to hate or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
It's clearly a farce. You know, I think this looks great. I can't wait to see it. I don't think it's going to make any money at the box office.
No,
I'm going to open it in Theater One,
yeah.
You know, and it'll do great. And everyone who sees it will love it. And then it'll be gone in 3 weeks.
I'm just like, if people thought we were insensitive laughing during the Harriet Tubman stuff, and then you're like, no, it's funny. You're like a little genocide. podcast at PennCinema.com. All right, lead me into this last one.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Won't you be my neighbor?
The Mr. Rogers. It's not a biopic, Mr. Dr. Biopic. It's not.
It's not?
No.
It's based on a true story.
Well, 100% true story. But I don't think it's a now you got me saying it. I don't think it's a biopic about Fred Rogers. I think it's a true story about a reporter who has an experience with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And in the context of that relationship,
yeah,
we learn a lot about Mr.
Rogers.
What was the name of the movie that came out last year that was about Mr. Rogers?
Star Wars.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah. I don't remember, but I wanted to see it and I never did.
Yeah. I think it might have been called Mr. Rogers.
I think it might have been called, it wasn't, Won't You Be My Neighbor, maybe? Or something like
that.
We should.
Oh, that might be it. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie, I think, looks great. Jojo Rabbit got me as my trailer of the week only because it was such a surprise. Like, I saw the trailer and I was like, what is this? And I pulled it up and clicked on it and I was like, what? This is crazy.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. This movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring the legendary, iconic Tom Hanks, looks also amazing. It's much dramatically more straightforward. It's going to be amazing.
This is my trailer.
The idea of the reporter being broken, you know, and Mr. Rogers having a soft spot in his heart for the broken.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
and
there's
David,
so much to...
David, aren't we all a little broken? A little bent up inside?
I told myself I would cry. I watched Harriet, and I was like, I don't know if anything could beat this.
Right.
And then I feel like Harriet looks like the better movie. The trailer, it might even be better, but the nostalgia of Mr. Rogers made this trailer my number one.
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
I think A Beautiful Day in Neighborhood looks like the better movie.
Really?
It's close. They both look amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm picking between two superstars.
Right.
But I think the Mr.
Rogers...
Because
of Tom Hanks?
Because of Tom Hanks and because of, I don't know, just... I don't know.
You know what I was thinking the whole time during A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood trailer? My favorite actor is Edward Norton. And I think he might... Maybe he's too old for it now, but like he... Could have been the interviewer.
Yeah.
Like, and I kept thinking, is that Edward Norton? Oh, no, it's not. Because he
right.
kind of like.
He would have been great in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he would have done really good at that role. But, yeah. So that's our trailers. Tell us, write us in. Actually, you know, call to action. Let us know your trailer of the week. podcast@penncinema.com.
I wonder if we're missing any trailers.
We probably are. Because, you know, maybe they just haven't hit my radar. I didn't do my normal deeper look just because I knew we had other stuff to talk about.
And, you know, maybe some trailers were released 3 days from now, 2 days ago.
Right.
So that could happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
That Pulp Fiction up in here. My goodness.
All right. So I'm going to switch roles now and become the host of this show.
Oh. The hostess with the mostest?
Your host, Penn Ketchum, with my guest, Mr. Dr. Biopic.
And yes.
We're going to start the show with a question.
Okay.
A little quiz.
Well, should we say what we're doing?
People probably know, but
just in case.
A good host.
Yeah.
A good host would say what we're doing.
An introduction.
Okay. We are now talking about synesthesia, yeah. which is a condition that David... Is it a condition?
Well, synesthetes don't like you to call it a condition.
Oh, what do we call it?
It can't be cured, but it's... There's no other really better...
Disease.
Like, yeah.
Flaw.
Flaw. Yeah. Yeah. Problem.
Fault.
Yeah, fault. Handicap.
It's a thing.
It's a neurological condition is a better way to say it, because it makes it sound less like a disease.
So it's a thing.
Yeah.
That David has, lives with, enjoys.
Sure. I don't know a difference.
You don't know a difference, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay. So we're talking about synesthesia. We've collected some questions from the audience, and I've done some brief research.
Right.
And my research is only just as a vehicle to stimulate conversation
right.
and have you sort of talk to us about this, but I do have some opening questions.
Okay. Now, our goal is to get to how it relates to movies, eventually.
Just take your time there, tough guy.
But in order for you to understand, you're going to need some...
My first is a two-part question. Do you know who this is?
How dare Mary J. Blige?
It is Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that. Good for you. So you know her when you see her.
Uh-huh.
Why am I showing you this picture?
She's probably a synesthete.
How did you know that?
A lot of artists are. Specifically artists like her that delve into a lot of color. There's actually, I should have sent you the links ahead of time, but there's actually a great guy called Ali Fabin, and his YouTube channel is called Synesthesia TV. And I'm pretty sure he has chromesthesia just like me. That's the type of synesthesia I have. And he makes his music to trigger the colors. And then when he makes his music videos, he makes them heavy on the colors that he's triggering. And I don't know if you want to after we're done, but it's pretty, once you learn about what this is and you can see it and you're like, wow, this must be like really interesting to see. How, like, for me, like, you're kind of seeing how he's forcing someone who doesn't have synesthesia to see kind of a semi-triggered version of it.
A lot of artists have this.
Yeah. A lot.
Franz Liszt, the composer from the 1800s, is a, what are you calling him? Synesthete?
Synesthete.
Synesthete. and a bunch of other people that I'd never heard of.
Oh, yeah, a lot of artists.
They're all artists. And then there's one dude, Dr. Richard Phillips Thaneman.
Oh.
He's a famous physicist.
Yeah. Good friends with Mr. Dr.
Mr. Bob. Dr. Biopic.
They go way back.
Sometimes I make a joke out of saying the wrong thing on purpose, and I fall down a rabbit hole where I can't remember which was the right way and which was the wrong way. Like on Stranger Things, the Sheriff Hoffman. Or Hopman?
Hopper.
Hopper. I started calling him Hoffer, like to be funny.
Yeah.
But then I started correcting myself saying Hopper. But then I started thinking maybe his name really was Hoffer.
Who's
and
gonna correct
I started
you?
Calling him Hopper. Marley.
Well,
that's who's going to
correct. One can only hope.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
All right. So do you know synesthesia comes from two Greek words? You probably knew this.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead and fill me in.
Sin. S-Y-N, which is together like a synchronizer mm-hmm. or a synthesizer, and athesis, which is Greek for perception. So therefore, synesthesia literally means joined perception. Mm. Now, from what I was reading, what you've described to me mm-hmm. is most common, where people hear colors. Mm.
It's not the most common.
It's not the most common. What's the most common?
The most common is a form called grapheme, which I also have. So a synesthete will have one primary version of synesthesia, followed up by one to two like subgroups. And chromesthesia is my prime, which is auditory to visual. But my main secondary is grapheme, which is the most common one, which is whereas your perception of text is changed and it has a bunch of different effects. Like some people see letters or numbers in color. Or the letters will float. It's often confused with dyslexia because the letters will like float off the page.
And you have that.
I have it, but it's my sub one, so it's not my main one. So for me, well, I guess we can get into it when we get into the types of synesthesia, or if we talk about that, or we're still discussing what it is.
Right,
but
right.
Chromesthesia is not the most popular one, or the most common. The most common is grapheme.
What you just described where the text is floating up off the page and turning different colors. I did experience that in 1988 when I was trying to read Calvin and Hobbes. That's a different story.
Weird. I'll just make a note that the doctors say that experiencing this is a lot like tripping on acid.
So synesthesia is involuntary.
Correct.
When you were younger, did you ever – have you been experiencing this your whole life?
Yes.
And
I've never known a time of my life where it wasn't this.
When you were younger, did it ever bother you?
There are times where it can become overwhelming. However, I didn't. It's one of those things. Okay, let's back up a second. I'm going to take lead here for a minute.
Please.
Okay. So first off, synesthesia is when two or more of your senses are crossed, and have always been crossed. They never disconnect. When your brain is forming, the connection never disconnects. And like, so when your brain starts out, it's like a big mesh and then it forms into the two lobes. And then like, so hypothetically, like some of it stays connected.
So you're like Lady Gaga.
I mean, I am Lady Gaga.
Born this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me my meat suit.
Right.
Yeah. So the form that I have is called chromesthesia, which is auditory to visual, which means that I see a visual reaction of colors to an auditory stimulation at all times. So I've never known anything other than this. So I'm going to, a little bit of the psychology behind being a synesthete is that you often may meet them and not know it because they for lack of a better term, they're not out about it. I didn't actually come out about my synesthesia until I was 27. My mom didn't even know. And, It's because you read, it's the only analogy that, because I'm nerdy, that I can come across is like the X-Men, or I guess you could go to some other analogies. But so the idea of you find out that you're different in such a way that you then fear prejudice because of it, because you don't, because most synesthetes don't know what they are or what they really have. Because they don't know how to describe it, because it's the only way they perceive reality. So for me to be like, oh, I love this song, like the colors are really cool, and then someone would be like, what are you talking about? What colors? Or if I'm like, oh, that noise, like I can't see through it, what are you talking about? And it doesn't take long before you realize that you're different and you start to define those things in you. But then you become closed to it because if you're that different, what if this is a positive different or if it's bad different? The doctors might want to do tests on you. A lot of synesthetes have a apprehension to the medical field because they're afraid of either A, at one point they had a lot of tests done on them to find out more information, or B, they're afraid that they'll be like hypothetically dissected to find out more. So, and that's why I didn't come out about it until I was giving a lecture type thing, and I decided to share about it to some people. And then when I did tell my mom about it, it kind of opened up a doorway between us of understanding, and a lot of things made sense between the two of us. Like, so not only do I see color, but the colors are often connected to an emotional spectrum. So sometimes it can cause an emotional reaction that's involuntary for me in certain cases. For instance, my mother's voice looks like the Jurassic Park, like claw mark through steel. And this is nothing. There's no reason. It's totally involuntary to explain this. So, but it looks like a claw, like a three claw marks, right? There isn't actually a claw, but that's what it looks like. And it's from silver, and then it goes. It's like silver, pink, orange, red. Now, orange and red are colors that put me on edge.
Mm.
Now, so especially when I was a teenager, and you know, not fully in control of your emotional spectrum. When we would have conversations, I would tense up, and it was perceived as attitude when it wasn't. It was just me like experiencing the moment, and it had nothing to do with her, nothing to do even with me. It just is that way. And as a result, then could be perceived to have an attitude. So it put it definitely, knowing those kind of things later, definitely opened up a door. Hmm. So anyway, I got a little off track there. So
that's fascinating. I don't they say in general red and orange are sort of angry colors?
Yeah.
Like for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating that you're sort of experiencing that like with a given sound.
Right.
You know, and that sound might be coming from someone you love.
Right. Purple. Purple is the color of love.
Oh, there you go.
And then blue is like a friendship, and yellow is happy, of course. A lot of people. Pink is trust.
One of the things that I read that was really interesting, and I guess you have to sort of think about this for a second. Like when I first started talking to you about this, I sort of thought in my mind, like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get what he's saying. Like, I sort of understand. Like, oh, yeah, I know, you know.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
cool. Like, oh, you know, okay, yeah. cool, he hears colors. But from what I was reading about it, it's not just sort of in your mind's eye.
Oh, it's physical.
It's very much physical and literally out there, like, in the room. So I'm sitting in one room. We're sitting in the same room looking at the room is filled for both of us with the exact same things,
mm-hmm.
including the sound and the background noise or whatever. But for me, the only colors that I see are the colors that are on the wall or on the pictures or on my coffee cup. But for you, there's all those colors plus out there in physically in front of you, in front of your eyes, is all these other colors. How would you say, are they dancing around or are they sort of coming and going, or is it like a filter?
Sort of. Yeah. Okay. So there's two ways for me specifically that I experience this, and I call them passive and active. So I totally sense the irony in what I call them, but I call the first one passive because it's active all the time, so I don't think about it. And that is like when you look through a screen door, you see outside clearly, but there's that gray mesh. Now imagine that gray mesh is swirling around like watercolors to the sound.
I can imagine that.
Yeah. So like that's the passive. That's okay. All the time. That's always happening. That's more in my mind. Close my eyes, I still see that at all times.
Is that, and I want to get to, I want your description of the active, mm-hmm. but is that on a spectrum of blindness?
It it's a funny thing you say that because it can be blinding. For instance, I'm not a very good long-term public speaker. I mean, I know I do podcasting and I use my voice for a lot of things. However, I don't tend to speak in long monologues because my voice is like a muddy, thick brown and it covers my entire perception. And the more that I talk, the less that my eyes are literally functioning. And
I'm waving. I'm waving over here, here between over all there. The brown.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's like my eyes are literally functioning. And if I really think about it later, I can remember seeing things and what I looked at. But in the moment, I don't perceive anything but the brown. So it's like I literally don't take it. It's like I literally don't take things in when I talk for too long. And I tend to pause more. Or yeah. Forget what I'm saying because I can't concentrate. It's startling. Right. All of a sudden you're like, what's going on? Like, I can't see.
I just wonder if, like, are there varying degrees? Like, have you ever met another synesthete who, like, maybe can't drive or can't sort of?
Well, when we get into the active, I'll talk to you about difficulty with driving. But I've only ever met one other synesthete. Okay, so apparently, I don't have it in front of me. The statistics are insane. The chances of me meeting another synesthete is like
zero.
It's huge. It's like something to one, some like big number to one, right?
Right.
And then the chances of me out of that chance of meeting a synesthete, of them having the same type of synesthesia that I do, is even more astronomical. So I actually was interviewed for the Lancaster paper a couple years ago about synesthesia, and that was the only time I've met another synesthete, and she had graphemine. And it was interesting because one of the things that we bonded on when talking about it, and she was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, she, you know, you don't, because you don't meet anybody, you don't have anyone to talk to about it. It's always like, you're always blowing someone's mind when you're telling them about it. It's so improbable and impossible for them. But for her and I told her the story about, like I told you about my mother and the colors of her voice and how it would irritate me and it wasn't really her. And she was like, that's crazy. Because she had a similar experience with when she was growing up, that when she was talking with her parents, that she would always freak out as a child when they would go to Kmart. She would just be irritable. She would have such a bad time. And it was because the K at Kmart is red, but the K should be blue.
Why should the K be blue?
That's just the way that her graphemine perceives the K as blue.
Yeah.
But because it was lit up. She couldn't she was like, it was like fighting her brain.
Yeah.
And it would set her off.
Hmm.
So, as in like, this is wrong. So everything felt wrong. So anyway.
So there are varying degrees.
Varying degrees.
Yeah. Interesting. So about active.
Active. So active is tied strongly to my memory, strongly to emotions a little bit. But it's weird because the way synesthesia affects my memory is when the active is on, I will remember things with insane detail, but no emotional, like, I can, but it's like, I'm almost like emotionally dead about it. And sometimes it's like, my memory for that moment will almost be third person. Like, I will remember such detail that when I remember it, I can remember things all around the room behind me, like that I saw passing. And I'm just, like, my memory is from that side of the room when I think back to that specific.
Like Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah. So active is when the tones that I'm hearing set off the colors, and anything in my vision that is that color is perceived to stand out or glow, for lack of a better term. And whatever is triggered is burned into my memory. Now, active is only like when I'm really thinking, or sometimes weirdly when I'm tired, or just, you know, it's not like the passive. It's not all the time, but when it happens, those things really stick in my mind. So if I'm really trying to concentrate or if I'm nervous or something. So one of the things, you know, like I said, you don't have anyone to talk to. Like, you have to learn how to adjust your personality to fit in. Mm-hmm. And specifically, like, one of the things I had to learn because I realized it was starting to, like, weird people out, specifically girls, is that I would like jewelry, shiny things, or buttons, or whatever, would easily get triggered. And my eyes move around a lot when I talk or when I'm listening because I am looking at all the different things, taking in all the weird things. So eye contact is one thing I had to learn. But back to what I was saying. So someone would be like, do you remember? The girl would be like, do you remember this thing that we talked about? Oh, yeah, I remember. You had, you know, the green shirt with the blue buttons and, like, the one wasn't buttoned properly. Or like, you had this necklace on. I remember it had, like, three diamonds on it or whatever. And then it's kind of weird because of, like, why are you remembering that weird? Why do you remember, like, that I had three earrings on? Or like, and it's, to me, that's just memory. That it doesn't have to do anything with them. It's just that those are the, you know, some people make like flashcards to remember things like that. To me, that's that's the flashcard. Oh, the button that was green. Like, yeah, that's why I remember that you don't like snakes. you know what I mean? So it's a weird thing, but it's, I could be driving and I could go past a flower, and if it hits right, I'll remember every single flower on that bush in that exact moment for whatever reason.
Do you think that's part of how you got into being a florist?
A little bit. Color stuff, for sure. Yeah. Balance. Color balance, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, so you had asked about driving. Green is not easy for me to see when things are going crazy. So, sometimes I'll slow down at a green light. Because my brain says there's no green light. It must be yellow or red.
Right.
The appropriate thing here is to slow down.
You get honked out a lot?
I've gotten a lot better with it, especially with now the LED lights. Like, my brain can say, it might not be green, but it can say something is happening, like in this section, which means you're okay. The thing is, I don't run red lights because I see red fine.
Right.
But it's like, I used to have friends be like, because it would happen because they'd be talking to me.
Right.
And it'd be affecting me. And I wouldn't come to a full, I mean, yeah, slow down. I'm like, why are you slowing down? It's green. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. So anyway.
That's why whenever we go driving, I just don't talk.
Right.
It's silent.
Right. I actually have a muzzle for you. It's
safety first, my friends.
Yeah. So anyway, back to your questions.
No, that's fascinating. A couple interesting facts is that most synesthetes are above average intelligence and standard neurological exams are normal. So in other words, from a doctor's point of view, and you were talking a few minutes ago about how a lot of synesthetes avoid doctors and medical people and whatnot. But the neurologically, there's nothing wrong. You know, there's nothing different.
Yeah, that's my condition is kind of faux pas because there's nothing wrong.
Right.
It's just like, I don't know how else to explain. You know, you have hairy arms or you don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
And it's different.
Yeah.
It's just so different. Other people can't understand it.
Well, one example that I heard is similar to being left-handed. Like, it's just the way your brain grew.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And which
except for those people are evil. Listenership just went way down.
Podcast at BenCinema.com.
By two people.
We'll find out if my dad's listening because he never resists a chance to comment on being left-handed and remark about how he's of superior intelligence. So pop up if you're listening. Give us a shout. So yeah. So I don't know. So we have some we want to move this into a discussion about movies.
Sure. If you got more stuff, I mean.
No, we're checking okay. All the boxes off here. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Were you aware of this, that typically it's more common with women than men?
I wasn't, but that doesn't surprise me.
Now, I got my hard-hitting facts off the interwebs.
Oh.
So I'm not trying to present them as.
The inner tubes?
Right.
You can't just drive a truck through it.
Right. So Marley had a question.
Mm.
Our number one fan. If a person learned a language with a different alphabet, would they see that differently? But I guess that's the graphite one you're talking
graphememe,
about.
Graphememe, yeah.
Graphememe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably.
Like,
I don't know.
Like, how would it affect you growing up if you in high school had learned German? Like, if you had gotten really into German, became fluent, you know, and you're walking around talking German, I guess it wouldn't really affect you other than the fact that now you're talking a different language, which might bring up different colors.
Yeah. Well, it's the tone. For me, it's the tones that bring up. It's not the words that bring up colors.
Gotcha.
So, but there are certain languages that I just don't care for.
Well, I was talking French earlier.
Right. Which I think French is beautiful.
Oui, oui.
but it's like certain forms, because there are many different types of Spanish, they rub me the wrong way. Like just the colors.
Gotcha.
And it has nothing to do with anything other than just the colors.
You want to hear a sidebar about me talking French?
Yeah. Voulez-vous.
So I used to work for the county, and I used to work for this person who was incredibly gullible. So I walked up to her and we were talking and I said, oh yeah, I speak French. She goes, no, you don't. I said, yeah, no, I totally speak French. And she's like, prove it. Talk to me in French. So by now, like a couple people had like gathered, we're all drinking coffee, you know, fooling around.
Coffee.
And she says, prove it. Talk to me in French. So I said, oh, you want me to prove, are you talking French? Okay. So I said, oui, oui, mon frère, mon ami, mademoiselle, bonjour, bonjour, oui, oui, mademoiselle. And she looks at me and her mouth hangs wide open. And she looks around at these other people and you go, oh my God, he speaks French. All the French I know, I learned from Pepe Le Pew. That's why you should always hang around gullible people, because yeah, they're definitely the most fun.
That's
anyway,
great.
So the perfect segue into talking about how this affects you when we watch movies. And we did watch the Avengers together. We've watched bunches of movies together. And I'm always cognizant not to say anything. Sometimes I elbow you and make eye contact or something, but I try to be quiet because I know it bugs you while you're watching movies.
Yeah.
So we got a listener. We got a question here from Simba.
Simba's sister.
Simba's sister, Hannah. And she asks, I'd like you to talk in general about what it's like watching a movie, although I think you've talked a little bit about your active, your passive and your active. I assume that you walk into an auditorium and you're obviously experiencing your passive synesthesia because that's always.
Yeah.
And then I'm sort of assuming that the movie then triggers some active synesthesia.
So let me get into that a little bit.
Yeah, so talk a little bit.
Go on with this question. So to me, the Foley, the tracking of the voices,
what's Foley?
That's the like
the background noise?
The footsteps.
Okay.
Like all the noise, because a lot of movies are filmed with almost no sound.
Right.
And you know, a big production movie.
I gotcha.
And then they put that, there's people who make the noises you hear.
They sort of build it.
Yeah. And those are the Foley people. And that kind of stuff makes you feel like you're in the movie, and it paints a picture for me. And it's almost as important as what's on screen, because usually my active is going on while watching a movie, which is why I generally will remember a movie visually really well if it's going on. But it's like every sound you hear was crafted.
Right.
That's what's so amazing about a movie. There's someone who sat at a board, and I've been working doing sound stuff semi-professionally for most of my life, and so I know how difficult it is to get things right. Every single thing that you hear during the movie is there because they want it to be there.
Hmm.
And it might have been put in later. It might have been emphasized. Empathized.
Or empathized.
Yeah. And so even the music, which goes along with like panning and like how they focus on things and what the music. One of the best movies that like does this is Punch Drunk Love, visually. There's a scene where he's on the phone and it's ringing, and the more that it rings, the more zoom in on him at the phone, and then the moment his love answers the phone, she says hello, and all the lights in the city come on. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when I'm watching a movie, I got a little bit better with it, but like I hate when people eat popcorn around me. That noise, that white noise. And when I say white, I mean literally colored white. Yeah. Imagine you're looking at a painting, right? And then every time someone speaks, they throw ink on the painting in front of you.
Hmm.
How hard is it then to appreciate the painting? You know,
yeah.
Right? Like every time that is interfering, you're missing something.
Right.
And maybe I'm seeing the movie, but I'm not fully seeing the movie as to what I want.
Which is really surprising to me because you are a moviegoer who shows up on opening night.
Right. Those I make exceptions for because it changed. And you might notice a lot of those things I see opening night, I'll see again. To get,
so you can see the painting without the throwing
right.
of paint.
It's more of the experience of
the social.
Yeah, the social
communal.
Experience. So if you're someone that I see movies with and you talk and I've never complained, then that means a lot. You should know that means a lot. Because I will often tell people to shut down. And if you're someone that I see movies with that talks to me and I ask what you just said, because it's kind of jarring if someone whispers to me and I'm like, what? Because that means that I really want to know what you want to say. That means you're even more important because I'm now also interfering myself with the,
right.
And if I'm making jokes with you during the movie, then that's like, you're in.
Either that or the movie just sucks so bad that you have to amuse yourself.
Well, there's that as well, but generally you're in. So, but I mean, sometimes it's like, I know that if I'm going to see a movie with people who jab during it or whatever, like I'll mentally prepare myself for it or whatever. So it's like, the best thing I can say is think of a movie and other noises that you hear, like they're throwing ink on it, on a painting, trying to watch a painting.
So Simba's sister, Hannah.
Yeah.
Her question was, are there some movies that are better with synesthesia than others? And if so, what? Which one?
Well, like I said, I think Punch Drunk Love is a big one. And that one's a little, people don't, it's a really weird drama movie, but then the noise in that is kind of hard. People, it's a lot of like big hums and stuff. One of my, I'll say like two of my favorite movies that it really triggers on that and that's partially why I love it is one, Tron Legacy. The soundtrack to that is amazing on its own, but the like bright fluorescent colors and all that went along with the music is great. Another would be Interstellar. It has a lot of drab colors in it, but then sometimes they're like when things are really sparkly and it goes to the music or really intense, like things really stand out. To me, the contrast in that movie is really, really good. But it's funny because a lot of times it'll be more of a drama film or something that really sticks out because of the sound. And it's much more of a subtle thing. For instance, like Motorcycle Diaries or another one that's really good for synesthesia. And they're not, for other people, they're not going to be very visually exciting. It's like 25th Hour. That's another movie that like visually sticks with me because it's so on point. And you know, and then people be like, well, what about like Avatar? And it's like, yeah, I mean, Avatar's whatever.
The one I would think of is Pirates of the Caribbean.
A lot of dull colors in that. And a lot of the colors that are green, the green blue of the ocean, which is doesn't really do it for me, or white is kind of neutral, or black is kind of neutral, so yeah. You know, give me like the fluorescent colors.
Yeah, Speed Racer.
And yeah, you'll really see. Oh, there was a movie called Dare Me, not Catch Me If You Can, or Dare You to Love Me, or something like that. It was a movie about two people who consistently dared each other and upped it. It was in French. And that movie, the color palette on that, amazing. I mean, I haven't seen it, but the movie Penelope also looks like one that would probably be really good with James McAvoy and Christina Ricci, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one that it's been on my list to watch. And a lot of animated stuff will always hit some. Cowboy Bebop, fantastic jazz music to color, like saturation, amazing. Anyone who's watched Neon Genesis Evangelion will know like the cicadas in the background stuff. That paints like a really crazy picture.
Hate cicadas.
Yeah. Oh, I hate them in real life too, but in this thing. Or Spirited Away. Amazing. Okay. You're going to see that in 2 months.
Giggly or something.
Giggly? Giggly.
Studio getting giggy with it.
Giggy pop. Anyway. So, yeah, that would be my answer. Some of those movies.
Yeah.
But didn't you have some sort of hashtag going on in her email?
I mean, I didn't want to bring it up.
kind of
not one to brag, but yeah. That's a great transition to listener notes. But yeah, this particular listener, Simba's sister, she started the hashtag, which I'm sure is already trending.
Probably.
Came for Dave. Hashtag came for David, stayed for Penn. What's up? I LOL'd on that one for sure.
I walked in the door and was like, oh man, how about this email?
Well, 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 look who it is.
He's a high and mighty over here. So anyway, if anyone has any further questions, email podcast@pencinema.com.
Or if there's any cinestates out there.
Oh, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, hit them up.
What's up?
What's up?
Let's get into some listener notes. We had people finally hitting us up on iTunes. I believe you laid it out. If anyone can make you laugh with a 5-star iTunes review, gets an IMAX ticket.
Yep, and we have two winners, two people who met that criteria.
Did they meet it?
Yes, they did.
Okay, all right, hit me.
IMWJC says, easily the best podcast you'll ever listen to. If you like an hour of mispronounced names, far-fetched theories, that surprisingly turned out correct once, and the rest of the time filled with the sounds of two adults.
Quotations.
It was the quotes around adults.
Two adults laughing.
They got me to chuckle a little bit, and it said, this is the only podcast I listen to on a weekly basis. The only thing that could have made this review better would be if it had said, easily the best podcast you'll ever listen to if you don't listen to any other podcasts. That's how I would have written the review.
All right. Well, I am WJC.
We got you an IMAX pass.
Yeah.
Come on and collect it.
Email podcast@pencinema.com with your real info, and we'll hit you up. What's this other one?
The other one, I don't know.
Do you want me to read this one?
I think you better.
All right.
I don't know. I better read it because it's about you.
Oh, boy.
So I wanted,
oh, boy.
I want to do it justice, give you your credit.
Hashtag came for David, stayed for Penn.
This is from Big Mike.
Oh.
First of all, come on. That's awesome.
Big Mike 2550.
Big Mike 2550 from the future. His review was, this has become my favorite podcast by far. Hearing David laugh could make the dearly departed grumpy cat chuckle. First of all, I'm not done yet, but I'm going to interject. That's a great turn of phrase. Hearing David laugh could make the dearly departed grumpy cat chuckle. I hope this guy turns out to be a writer.
He should be.
He's got a great
turn
of phrase.
Welcome to my fan club.
So at this point, I'm reading this review and I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's nice. Everybody loves, you know, you.
And Raymond.
So that's great.
Yeah.
But then he continues. I used to just listen to the Ben Shapiro show, but when I want to hear some liberal BS, I come and listen to this show. That got me. I got a good little chuckle out of that one. Not only the image of somebody moving on from Ben Shapiro to the Penn Cinema podcast. But then the throwback to bring in the liberal BS, I love it.
I mean, I think that's like a win. Anyone who can bring that back.
It's a huge win.
So, Big Mike.
I'd like someone to also accuse us of some conservative BS. I'm sure we said some. Maybe
yeah.
Not. Probably
I mean,
not.
You never know.
All right, we'll try next week to work some.
We'll wear our bonnets.
All right. What are you up to, David? What are you watching? What are you reading?
Well, it's only been 3 days. I mean, it's been a week.
But, David, it's been more than 3 days because by the time that you're hearing this, it will have been 8 days.
Oh, my gosh.
So what will you have read and watched
in those
in the time
days?
Now, in the real time that we are hearing this?
Oh, boy. I started season 2 of Arrested Development.
Just now.
In this moment. while you were talking to me, I started watching it. I was like, well, this is not going anywhere.
I'm watching it right now.
Wow. Wait, are you in season 2 yet?
I don't know. It's Monday.
Oh. You're breaking my brain, Ben.
I was in season 2 on Saturday.
Okay.
But now it's Monday and I've moved on to season 3.
Huge,
last week on Wednesday, I was still in season 2.
What in the world is going on with you? Stop it. So I'm watching. It's a circle.
It's the circle of life.
All right. Arrested Development season, for some reason, a lot of the stuff in season two, and even in just the first two episodes, I always think are in season one. So when I finally get to them, I'm like, yes, this is the comedy I've been wanting for so much. And I got to tell you, you hit me with some hard, like, life choices. Right? Last week, I was like...
Like my friend Lynn's dog, Summer.
Yeah. Okay. Goes in the corner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm almost done Stranger Things. And you're like, why don't you wait?
Yeah.
And we'll watch Stranger Things together. Yes.
The last episode.
And which I was already ready to watch. Like, I was going to go and watch.
Yeah.
And so now I've been just waiting.
Oh.
Like, when is this going to happen? Because I don't know if I can, make it. I was like, do I dare watch it and then pretend that I didn't watch it? I was like, I mean,
friends don't lie.
Friends don't lie.
David.
Were you spying on me? it's been difficult.
I think you should just watch it.
You think I should just, you think it's going to take you that long?
Well, no,
I'll watch it again with you.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
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 Because that's what Marley's doing. She's watching, I mean, we're in the middle of season two.
And you're going away for like 20 days.
I've already been away.
I mean, yeah, you're currently coming back.
I'm just back.
Yeah.
While you're listening to this, I am in the car, 70 miles an hour, southbound on the New York State Thruway.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Blow your mind. You're probably listening to it with them.
Right. I already listened to it.
Earlier in the day.
Tomorrow.
Shut up. Shut up. You're driving me nuts. So, all right. And I read a book called Batman Hush Beyond, super mature graphic novel
awesome.
About Batman in the future. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Well, Kayla and I went back to Parks and Rec.
Oh,
love that show.
That show's great.
I love Parks and Rec. I have no idea what season we're in. I think she's working her way through the entire series, but I pop in and out. It's the kind of show you don't need to sort of continually watch.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Kayla and I are having a really good time watching Parks and Rec. Marley and I are watching Stranger Things, which we've already talked about how much I love that. Tour de France is on.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the first 5 minutes to remember what happened yesterday. Then I fast forward it.
For 5 hours.
For 5 hours. I watch the last 10 minutes to see who wins. But I do actually really enjoy the Tour de France. I just haven't had the time to like spend it's 4 hours every day.
Right.
You know, of coverage. So
and you quote unquote work during the day.
Nah. No.
So you could be watching it.
Right, yeah. I usually just get hungry for a bowl of cereal and then one thing leads to another. I'm having some more coffee, play with the dog. But I did want to mention I did finish another great book about running called The Way of the Ultra Runners or something like that. It was written by the guy with an impossible first name, but his last name is Finn.
Oh.
So ultra running, a fascinating book. I think it's called – oh, no, it's called The Rise of the Ultra Runners. And it's fascinating about guys who run 100 miles, 150 miles, really interesting stuff. These guys go to deep, dark places.
Wow.
It would be fascinating to find out if there's an ultra runner with synesthesia.
Ooh.
And what they experience in the middle of the night when they're on one of their 30-hour runs.
Here's my question for you. Did anyone ever tell you about this great book that is 110% – it's about running a government, which is a form of a marathon of life?
Is it called – does it rhyme with schmoon?
It's weird. It does. It's almost like kind of has a desert theme. I think it's called
Dune.
There's a movie coming out about it, 2020. So, late 2020, though.
Yeah.
It'll get moved up.
Yeah.
But, man, it's weird. If somebody would have lent you that book, you should totally read it.
Do you ever think that – do you ever imagine, like, a moment in your life and picture it as, like, the opening scene of a movie? And imagine, like, what else is going to happen later in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're going to flip back and, like...
Yeah. This was that moment for you?
Yeah.
Mennonite Separation, Becky gave us an update, said she's, like, heavy into it. I don't know where she's at, but she said she was, like, she's in.
I'm glad you told me that, because she's been my barometer.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, I don't want to get left behind. I want to read it with her.
More than halfway through.
Oh, I got some reading to do.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll bring it. Here's the thing. I brought it with me.
Oh.
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
On my trip.
You've already read some of it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, David.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you read it during your marathon, but yeah. It's crazy.
No, I read it while I was on my bike.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And while I was swimming.
It held up real well in the water.
Well, it was in a lake swim, so I could see through the water. You know, it was clear water.
Clear water.
And I got the waterproof version of the book, so we're good to go.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. All right. Well, we're going to continue moving forward with our lives from
Thank
here.
God.
I know. So good luck on your big marathon that happened
Thank you.
Already.
The Iron Man.
The Iron Man. Yeah. You are Iron Man.
Well, hopefully Mike Riley will be there to call me when I come across the finish line.
Oh, snap.
So I'm hoping.
Cool.
Yep.
That's super cool.
Next week, Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious present Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. That's going to be... I'm so pumped for this movie.
Did you have to just check your mental schedule to make sure I was right? You doubted me? You were like, oh, I don't know. That might not be the one.
I don't know if you know this or not, but someone's been messing with my perception of time for the last 15 minutes.
Your perception of time is an illusion. It's been messed with for the last however many years.
I don't even know anymore. What day is it?
Hobbs and Shaw opened last night.
Is it 2020 yet?
It opened last night 2 weeks from now.
Shut up! Gosh. All right. Are we continuing with the iTunes review?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, give us a 5-star review, and if you make me laugh, I'll leave you an IMAX pass.
Awesome. Great. So thanks for joining us again on the show. My name's David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care, party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.